Morning.
Morning.
Thank you all for being here today. It's good to see every one of you. Those of you that are visiting with us and our regular members, it's always a blessing to be together in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be reading from Ephesians, the fourth chapter this morning, if you'd like to turn there. Our text is actually down verses 15 and 16. We'll get a little context going before we get there, but if you'd like to be turning in your Bible to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, to get started, that would be great. And I hope that you can join me in saying I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." My aim this morning is to share some of God's Word that will hopefully encourage you and make you think a little bit about your walk with the Lord. So we've just completed a gospel meeting. We had a special series of lessons last Sunday through last Wednesday about the teachings of Jesus. So now what? Are you, because of listening to those lessons, are you going to do anything different? Did you further study any of the many references that our brother Ed Sanderson referenced during those lessons? Did you change your beliefs or deepen your understanding about any of the topics? What did you expect to get out of the gospel meeting? Just some questions to think about. And something to think about every time we come and assemble ourselves together is, what am I doing here? Am I here to get something out of this service, or am I here to contribute something to the service? What motivates you to do what you do? What motivates us to do what we do? So I'm hoping to maybe help you think about those questions a little bit as we go into our study this morning. So Paul opens up this first chapter, the fourth chapter, with us endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He talks about the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And then at verse 7, he says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And he talks about Jesus, how Jesus is the one who was from above, he descended down below, and he has ascended back up. He says in verse 11 that he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he says in verse 13 and 14, he's saying we're going to all come to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. And I just realized I had some of this up there for you. So, but then getting to our text now in verses 15 and 16, he says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So I want to focus this morning, for the few moments that we have, on those verses there, verse 15 and 16, and the thoughts that Paul brings out there as we go into that. Well, first of all, we notice that he says we must speak the truth in love. This is the beginning of verse 15. He says we must speak the truth in love. So we have to, first of all, recognize that we're going to speak the truth. The truth has to be spoken, and that's in contrast to what he mentions there in verse 15, where he talks about every wind of doctrine. We're not to be like children being blown around by whatever's the most popular thing nowadays. In contrast to that, we should be speaking the truth, not whatever wind is blowing out there, by which people are out there. Trickery of men, cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive. So that's out there, as in contrast to what the truth is. And so we should be speaking the truth in love. We recognize that Jesus taught, as he was praying in the garden before he died in John chapter 17, speaking to his apostles, he said, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. So we recognize that when we are speaking the truth, we're going to speak the Word of God. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 160 says that the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So when we're speaking the truth in contrast to every wind of doctrine that's blowing out there, we're speaking God's word. That's where we're coming from. But we also have to speak the truth in love, so that requires speaking. We have to open our mouths and speak about the truth of God. You notice in Matthew, the sixth chapter, and we've been studying through Matthew in our morning study here in the auditorium. But one thing that you notice about Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus talks about and gives instructions to us on what to do when we pray, when we fast, and when we give, is that he uses the word when. So when you pray, don't pray like the scribes and the Pharisees. They're praying to get the rewards from men. Wow, that was a great prayer. Or wow, that was a long prayer. Or wow, you repeated something over and over in that prayer. Or wow, you're standing on the street corner with your wide phylacteries and getting the adoration of men. And he's teaching us there that when we do it, why we do it matters just as much as what we do when we do it. Okay, so why we're going to go and pray to the Lord matters to us just as much as how and when we pray. Why I choose to give to others matters just as much as when I give to others and when I choose to give others. Why I choose to fast is just as important as when I do fast. So our motive matters to the Lord. He says if we do our charitable deeds to be seen by men, then we have no reward from our Father who is in heaven. So we have to have the right motive. And the motive Paul brings out in our text here, speaking the truth in love. The motive has to be love for God and love for others. That has to drive our actions of what we do. So that passage there in Matthew chapter 6, really the whole chapter there talking about prayer, talking about fasting, talking about giving, doing good for others, has to be out of the motive of love for God and love for others. Jesus talks about that in the previous chapter, in Matthew chapter 5, a very common passage to us, verses 13 through 16, about letting our light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When you look at that passage, that immediately follows the Beatitudes, and it follows the section of the Beatitudes where blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, when you're persecuted for Jesus' sake. That's where the light is being shown, is when you're under persecution. And you are to still continue to do good to glorify God who is in heaven. Paul also talks about the things that we do having to be out of the motive of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll look at the first three verses there. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or of a clanging cymbal. It's noise. It's just annoying noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul referencing Jesus' teaching that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say this mountain be cast into the sea. So if we have faith as a mustard seed, Jesus says we can move mountains. Paul says if we don't have love, I'm nothing. If I'm trying to move this mountain so that people can say, wow, look at that great mountain that you just moved, I have nothing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. So I can be a martyr for the Lord, but if it's not out of the motive of love for God and love for others, it's no good. It doesn't do anything. So we have to, our motive for speaking the truth, as opposed to every wind of doctrine that's out there, has to be out of the motive of love. And then if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the next three verses there, very common passage to us about the description of what love is. And you'll notice that love is action. Love is action. It's what we do. It's not seeking our own. It's not rejoicing in iniquity. It's rejoicing in truth. It's bearing, believing, and hoping in all things. It's enduring all things. That's what love is. And when we speak the truth in love, that has to be our motivator. Love for God and love for one another. Back in 1 John chapter 4, in the back of your Bible there, in verses 7 through 11, the apostle there says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So there again, John cementing that motive for us has to be out of love for each other and out of our love for God. So speaking the truth in love, Jesus is our example of speaking the truth in love. In John the 8th chapter, there was a woman who was caught in adultery, and they bring that woman in front of Jesus. They don't bring the man, they just bring the woman. And they tested Jesus. This was a test for Jesus. They weren't really that concerned about the woman being caught in adultery. They were trying to trap Jesus. And you know that account in the early part of John chapter 8. They pressed in, "Jesus, what do you say?" "Moses said to stone her to death. What do you say, Jesus?" And He stoops down and writes on the ground, writes in the sand, like He doesn't hear what they're saying to Him. They keep pressing Him. He rises up and says, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone." And then He doesn't look at them. He stoops back down and writes on the ground again. They all leave, starting with the oldest, condemned by their own conscience, recognizing that they all had sin. And He raises Himself up and sees no one but the woman. He says to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus was speaking the truth in love to this woman. He said, "Don't do that. Stop doing that. Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either." That's an example of speaking the truth in love. Jesus also is an example of speaking the truth in love in Matthew chapter 23, which our brother Ed Sanderson read in great detail to us this past week. So I'm not going to read Matthew chapter 23 to you. He says down in verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Or as Ed said, "Tragedy to the dramatic and theatrical actors. For you pay a tithe, you take 10% of your mint, your anise, and your cumin, you take your spices, you're out of your spice rack, and you take 10% of those. And you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Luke, in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 11, verse 42, he says, "You pass by justice and the love of God." So kind of giving us another angle there. So Jesus is an example of speaking the truth in love. Sometimes speaking the truth in love is pointed, like He spoke to these false teachers. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." Sometimes He spoke the truth in love by saying, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." God expects us to speak His word and His truth out of love as well. Okay, but continuing back in our text in Ephesians chapter 4, He says, "But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up in all things." You may grow up in all things. Growth is expected. He says we should no longer be children. Verse 14, no longer children tossed to and fro by the winds of doctrine. We love our children, we love our grandchildren dearly. But we recognize that they are not and they should not stay infants or toddlers or young children or teenagers forever. Growth is expected from us as well as from our children. We also recognize that there are aspects of children that we must possess. God expects us to have trusting and innocence and faith as a child does. And I gave the example there of Mark chapter 10 and verses 13 through 16, where children were brought to him to be blessed by Jesus, and his disciples tried to turn them away. And Jesus said, Jesus was greatly displeased, verse 14 of Mark chapter 10. He said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms and laid hands on them. So there are aspects of children that we must maintain, and that trusting, that receiving of the kingdom of God, that faith in the Lord. But we recognize that we need to grow up. And that's also true in our spiritual lives as Christians. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro by the winds of doctrine. No longer children. We need to grow up. Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and verses 12 through 14. For though by this time the Hebrew writer writing to those Hebrews, those Christians who had come out of Judaism, he's saying, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Peter closes out 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Growth is expected in all of us. We can't reach a point where we know it all. I've read the Bible. Do I need to read it again? Yes. read it again. I've read it twice. Well, read it again. It's okay. We all have growth. We all have room for growth. So how do I grow? How am I going to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says in this account in Acts chapter 17, it says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness or eagerness. They wanted to receive the word. They had a desire to receive the word. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So the things that Paul was saying, they went back and examined them. Our brother Ed Sanderson said that every night that he was here. He had lots of scriptures that were up on the board. I don't know if you got those multi-page handouts. And he kind of skimmed over some of them and he said, you should go back and study these. You're right. We should go and examine the things that are said. You should examine the things that I'm saying this morning and compare them to what God reveals in His Word. Referencing again back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, we should hunger and thirst for righteousness. We should hunger and thirst for righteousness. That should be something that we desire. For those that are young in the faith, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says to desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby. Growth is expected of us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to grow your faith, you have to hear the Word of God. A little later in our text, in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 18 and 19, he says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So one of the ways that we can fill up on the Word is by speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, like we've done this morning. Parallel passage to this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So be filled with the Spirit. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that's one way that we can let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. One of the things that I've noticed in our high school Bible class, and I'm glad I put the book up here, but every lesson that we have in the high school Bible class, it has these three little sections here. First one is find Him, second one is study Him, and the third one is follow Him. And the application here says, use the exercises on the back of the sheet to apply this teaching to the lives of the students. And then the next question is, how should their lives be changed after considering this passage? And that should be the question that all of us ask every time we sit and listen to the Word of God presented to us. How should this passage change the way I'm living my life? How should this impact the way that I'm living my life today? So here's a thought for you. When was the last time the Word was heard in your home? Do you and your spouse study together? Do you and your family get together and study together? If not, why not? Why not make it that time? The other thing that I like on this is the first one. It says, have the students read the passage every day. They should get familiar. Have them talk it over with their parents so that they have the benefit of their input. So, and I usually ask them that at the beginning of class. Most of the time, they actually talk to their parents and get some input, which I think is great. So, is the Word of God read in your home? Do you and your spouse study together? Think about that. It's going to require effort. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says we need to be diligent to seek God's approval. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 11, because of the exceedingly great and precious promises that God has given to us, we should, for that reason, giving all diligence, add to our faith. And that, I'm not going to read that whole section there. You're familiar with that section there. But the point is, we should be giving all diligence to add to our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we recognize that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to be diligently seeking the Lord. We should be able to say, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 97, oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. We should be able to say that. We want to grow up into all things and in all ways. In all ways and all aspects in our lives. In Philippians chapter 3, and this is a common passage to us as well, the Apostle Paul says, I don't count myself as apprehending it. So here's Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's saying, I'm pressing on to the upward call. Even though Paul was given all these miraculous gifts, he still recognized he hadn't apprehended yet. I'm not in heaven yet, so I'm not done growing. I haven't gone to see the Lord yet, so I'm not done learning. I haven't gone to see the Lord yet, I'm not done serving. We're going to grow up into all things. And we grow up into Him who is the head, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Master, and our King. Back in our text in Ephesians chapter 4 and at verse 13, Paul says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So as we grow, this is what we are growing up into. We're growing up into Christ. So we recognize also that as we go back into our text here in Ephesians chapter 4, we're speaking the truth in love. We may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body. So let's talk about this body here. From whom the whole body is going to grow. Earlier in Ephesians in chapter 1, he explains to us what this body is. He says he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head, speaking of Christ, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So this body of Christ is the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Christ is our head, and we are the body of Christ. And so as we seek to grow into the head, which is Christ, the whole body is going to grow and to learn. And we recognize as we look at our body, the whole body looks to the head and works together just like our body. We have many members, but all the members do not have the same function. And that's even brought out here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. He talks about the different functions there that people have. But I want to go back and look at Romans chapter 12, because he talks similarly to this section here. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, following that passage where we're not supposed to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So each one of us has been given a measure of faith. We studied this morning in the high school class about the talents and how 5 talents was given to one, 2 was given to another, and 1 was given to other, each according to their ability. All of us do not have the same abilities or talents or drives. For as we, continuing in Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Have you ever thought of yourself as being a member of one another? But we are. We are the body of Christ, and we are members of one another. And then here's the gifts again. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Let us use the gifts. "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. Or he who teaches in teaching. Or he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." God has given a measure of faith to each one of us. He's given gifts to each one of us. Use it. Use that gift. This is also brought out back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a little bit earlier, talking about love. And just preceding that, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, brings out some similar thoughts that he does to these thoughts in Rome. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 4, he says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And we understand that at this time there were miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit. They were able to speak in tongues. They were able to speak in languages that they had never studied, that others could understand. There could be someone that entered their assembly that was from a completely different country, didn't speak the language, and somebody there could prophesy and speak to that person in their language that they could understand. But I think we can understand the context here that there are different gifts that are given. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5, "There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He will." So all of us have different gifts according to the Spirit, according to the grace that God has given to us. So we need to be joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to read this entire section here, but you can reference that. But in verse 12 he says, "As the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So just like our own physical bodies, the body of Christ has many members of it, and we're all members of one another. We're all a part of one another. And note that in our text in Ephesians chapter 4, that the body is joined together by what every joint supplies. So even your little pinky nail supplies something for your body. Okay? Everybody in the body is not the arm. Everybody in the body is not the back or the eyes. And he talks about that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I can't say, well, because I'm just the ear, I'm not a part of the body. Just like your ear can't say that as a part of your body. So every joint is going to supply, every part does its share. And that share is the effective working that we have. It's using the gifts that God has given to us. It's developing the talents that God has given to us. So what is your share? It's what you do, it's what you work effectively that makes a difference. And again, the common thread underlying all of this is that we must work effectively. Every joint must supply. We must do it for the love of God and for the love of one another. That's where the motive has to be for every part to do its share, for every joint to supply. One of the passages that our brother Ed mentioned when he was giving his lesson was Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, "For you," this passage here, Paul writing to the churches at Galatia, says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use it for yourself. But through love, serve one another." Through love, serve one another. So if we want to let our light shine, if we want to have every part do its share, what every joint is going to supply, we have to, through love, serve one another. We actually are serving God and Jesus when we serve one another. Just think about that. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, on that judgment day, when Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, verses 37 through 40, then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." So when we serve God, when we serve one another out of love, we're actually serving God. Proverbs 19 and verse 17, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he," God, "will pay back what he has given." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 through 18, "By this we know love, because he," Jesus, "laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" The answer is, the love of God is not in him. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is what we do. Love is our actions. And again, everything that motivates us to serve one another has to be out of love for God and love for one another. Again, back in Romans chapter 12, continuing in verse 9, we are to love without hypocrisy. "Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another, in brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. We went to our brother Bill Cannon's funeral service, memorial service, a couple weeks ago. And one of our brothers came up after and said, "Well, I didn't know any of that about Bill. All the things that Bill did and the things that he had done when he was younger and the things about his family. I didn't know that about him. Maybe we didn't know Bill as much as we thought we did. I need to interview other people more so I know more about them. We need to spend more time together. That's what it's about. How can we be giving preference to one another if all I know about you is good morning and have a good day as you're on your way out the door? I mean, I see you here. But if I don't know about what's in your life, am I really giving preference to you? We might need to try to give preference to one another and meet with one another more than just Sunday morning. Something to think about. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The motive must be love. Love for God, love for one another, serving God through what we do. So, when we're joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, what's the result? The result is the body's going to grow. There's going to be growth, which growth is expected. We talked about that earlier. And the body's going to be built up. And again, in love, the motive is that common thread. So the things that we do must be for the motive of loving and serving God and loving and serving one another. And when we do that, we will grow. There will be growth. We will grow spiritually, and we will grow because more people are going to know about the Lord and they're going to want to come and hear about it. We must plant the seed. We must sow the seed. We must plant it and water it. We know that the seed is the Word of God from Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." You might be a waterer. You might be a sower. God's going to be the one that's going to provide the increase. But the point is, the truth needs to be spoken in love. And then God will provide the increase. The body is going to edify itself. The body will be built up, will be encouraged. We had an outstanding gospel meeting. It was refreshing to hear the Word of God from a different perspective. The seed was sown, hearts were encouraged, the body was edified in love during this past gospel meeting. So now what? How many people were converted by listening to the sermons of Ed Sanderson? Or maybe how many people were converted by the brother who taught Brother Roger, who said, "Here, at home." Right? At home with Roger. You have that question? Here, read this. Look what it says right here. Read that for yourself. That's where the conversion happens. We're right here. This is like the football huddle. Right? We're making the play here. We're encouraging. You can do this. You can do this. It's 4th and 10. We're down by 3 touchdowns, but you can do this. Okay. You can do it. This is the encouragement. The plays are made out on the field. You and I must have the courage. We must have the courage to talk to our family members, our neighbors, and our coworkers about the amazing love of God and the amazing love of Christ. Within our body here, I have this little flip calendar. Maybe you're feeling discouraged about things. I have a flip calendar on November 8th that said, nothing delivers us from discouragement quicker than taking positive steps to solve the problem. So take some action. Do something about it. What can we do? James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. If anyone's suffering, let him pray. And we and Misako, and I'm sure Brother Ron, appreciate your prayers. Otto had to talk Ron off a ledge yesterday of, well, we're going to come to the elders and deacon meeting on Tuesday. That, no. No, Ron, you're not going to come to the elders and deacon, and you're not coming to Bible class on Wednesday. You're going to just stay home. But we appreciate the prayers and keep them going. So, he's amazing. Let's pray for Ron. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. If anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So what can you do? We can pray. Remember Matthew chapter 6? Jesus, when you pray, not if I pray, when you pray. The last part of that section there in James chapter 5, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Do you know anyone in your family or from this congregation that has wandered from the truth? You might just be the one that God uses to turn that precious soul back to the truth. You can speak the truth in love. We understand that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And from 1 Timothy 5, that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we need to be speaking the truth in love. We can grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint is important. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, every part has a share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And again, the common theme here is for us to pray and for us to do the things that we do in love. We've been called to liberty, and through love we should serve one another. So when I give, and when I pray, and when I fast, parents, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, you are to teach your children diligently and talk of these words when you rise up, when you sit down, when you're going along the way. These are the things that we're to talk about. We can talk about Russell Wilson and the football game. We can talk about the Aggies. We can talk about what's on Pinterest. We can talk about what's happening in our job. We can talk about the projects we're working on at home. We need to be talking diligently about the truth of God, speaking the truth in love. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Paul says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Do you notice that maybe somebody hasn't been here in a while? Or maybe somebody hasn't been here in a long time? Pray about it. Write them a note. Call them. Visit them. Give preference. In brotherly love, give preference to one another. You could write a note of encouragement to a brother, like our brother Roy Sutherland. I'm telling Kurt, he keeps telling me, have you read that letter yet? I'm working on it. You could write a letter of encouragement to one of the many preachers that we support. You could write a letter of encouragement to some of our older members. Wow, what a great example of faithfulness you are. That's so encouraging to me. You could write a note of encouragement to one of our many young mothers here, young families, to encourage them to continue to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So what hinders you from serving one another? What hinders us from serving one another through love? What hinders us from doing our share? How should our lives be changed after considering this passage here in Ephesians chapter 4? How will your life be changed? Will you, in love, serve one another? I hope that these thoughts this morning have been an encouragement to you, and I hope that you will carefully consider them, and I hope and pray that you will examine them to see whether these things are so, and if finding them so, that you will, as our brother Ed said, make the change. It's all, our lives are about change and about growth. Growth is expected, and hopefully that this has encouraged you in that aspect as well. I'm not sure who's leading the invitation song. Oh, Mike's still here. I guess I didn't go too long. Okay, good. There might be someone here this morning who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but you have not yet been united with Jesus in the likeness of His death. We are told in Romans chapter 6 that we can be united in the likeness of Jesus' death and rise to walk in newness of life. We can be born again by faith in the working of God. And we do that by confessing our belief in Jesus as the Christ, by making a change, repenting, turning from what our life was before, turning, saying, I'm going to follow God, confessing our belief in Jesus Christ, and being united in the likeness of His death. And we do that simply, the simple act of being baptized, immersed in water, that you might rise and walk in newness of life and be faithful to Him. Or you might be here this morning and you feel like maybe you haven't done your share and you want to make that change. Well, please make that change, make that commitment this morning as we stand and as we sing.